Welcome back to the Virtual Inbox. My name is Paul and I'm one half of the greatest football manager podcast going at the minute. I think we can class ourselves as going, Ryan. I mean, we're back recording. Surely that counts.
Counts. After a while, but hey-ho, the world's been busy. You've been driving 40 million thousand hours around Norway. I've been, well, teaching, but you say that's a lazy job.
Well, I've been Santa Claus, delivering the packages over Christmas, making sure people got something for Christmas. But it's good to be back talking Football Manager. The virtual inbox is back, ready for your ears, and hopefully you're going to enjoy it. And yeah, we're going to try to make it a regular thing, Ryan. Obviously, you're very unreliable, but we'll see what we can do. I'm sorry.
I've tried. All the inboxes are there. We can show proof to everybody.
I'll hold my
hands
up.
Can I go on the social media?
No. I'll hold my hands up and admit that I'm the one who's quite often busy. But yeah, so Football Manager 2021's been out for over a month now. There's obviously a few gripes at the minute with the latest patch causing a few issues with the stats and stuff. I'm sure you've seen that on Twitter, Ryan.
I have seen it, yeah.
Any opinions on it so far? I mean, how's it affected your save? I know there's that major problem with the fullback rating, which obviously does cause a problem. If your fullbacks are getting a poor rating, they're obviously not going to attract maybe other teams, so you're then going to lose sales, or you're not going to be a fan.
I mean, I've always seemed to find that Football Manager tends to, I'd say, weight their rating system more towards the attacking style of play, which just happens. It happens in like real life a lot more. Like the more goals that a footballer scores for the Fantasy Premier League, the more points they seem to get. But if a defender has a fantastic game and there's a load of goal-saving tackles, he doesn't seem to get that much of a high rating unless it's a clean sheet. So there's always an imbalance.
I think you need your fullbacks on free kicks and corners if you want to make sure you get a high rating for them in Football Manager, without a shadow of a doubt. But I get that it's peeving a few people off. I think the biggest thing that annoys me is the fact that Football Manager have not acknowledged it publicly to people. I think it would be nice if they could just come out and say, look, we're sorry, there's an issue in terms of the stats. I've noticed there's a few issues with like XG and stuff, where on one screen it'll say one thing and on another screen it says completely different XG. I've seen a few things people talking about players getting tired near the end of games and stuff. I was talking earlier to Scribe, Ramdeuter, Matthias. We were talking about how three games in a row today in my MTK Budapest save, three games in a row I was 2-0 up at 90 minutes. And in all three games, I drew 2-2. Well, we all know I like to play defensively. And throughout the whole game, we were solid as a rock. Then we basically shit ourselves. So, a little bit frustrating, Ryan, to say the least.
It does seem to be happening. I mean, I was quite excited to have XG in the game this year, and I just don't think it's turned out in the way that people imagine it. Because there's different forms of mathematical versions of XG. I mean, I'm not going to be honest, I don't know them all. I just read into the one that Football Manager would be using, which is with Sci Sports, I think it is, a company that they just decided to partner with. And I mean, I was part of a Football Manager draft yesterday with somebody who has just been doing streaming for 96 days straight. Well, not straight, he's not been streaming for 96 days with no sleep. I think I won a game and I had an XG of like 0.2, and the other guy had an XG of 0.8.
Yeah.
So it's like, so whether it's showing that my player just took that like one chance and I won a game, and then I came bottom of the draft with a minus 16 goal difference. So we won't speak much more of that draft.
I think in terms of XG itself, I mean, I get, When you mid game and you get them little graphs saying this player you need to maybe close him down because he's having a lot of shots, and you you look at what they're saying in terms of this guy's had shots from good positions, and when you view it, they're not what you would have expected them to be. And obviously, XG goes from 0.1 to 1, depending on how clear cut the chance was. And some of the ones they had, pretty much an open goal, and they were getting like maybe like a 0.3 on the XG for that. And it's a bit strange sometimes, without a shadow of a doubt. One of the biggest stat things to watch out for within the game, and you could end up messing up in terms of, you get asked if you want to close someone down because they're getting a lot of crosses in and stuff. I got suggested that for a player. So I actually went back and watched the game, like re-watched that match. And in the first half, that player didn't put a single cross in, but he had 8 corners. And they were suggesting to close him down because he was crossing the ball a lot. And it's like, well, he was crossing the ball a lot, but they were all corners. It's going to be quite a struggle to close him down from them. So, yeah, you've got to... That kind of shit needs fixing. 100% needs fixing.
Mm. There must be something that it's something in the coding that they've put in terms of what is classified as a cross. Why would that need to be closed down? They must have linked crossing to closing down in some way, but then not linked out corners that to me aren't really classified as a cross. They're classified as a set piece.
Yeah, 100%. But let's move on from abusing the things that are broken, because I don't think we've got long enough to go through them all. And discuss the fact that I'm still addicted to the game. I was talking to Matthias earlier, and he said he's had enough until they fix this issue. For me, I can power through the issues of ignoring that kind of thing, and actually, like, I'm in the middle of trying to sign a fullback who my scouts picked up about 6 months ago, and they've been, as you know, I like to do my scouting. And I just went and watched a few games in that country just to see how he looks in the match. He looks fairly decent, to be honest. So I'm managing MTK Budapest. I wanted to do something like I did with Cork City in the last one, Ryan, which obviously there was no documented record of, but I had a lot of fun with it. I've just finished season one. We finished mid-table. Now, MTK Budapest, they have, in the last 4 seasons, they've been relegated twice and promoted twice. So they're back in the top flight, second most famous club in Hungary, but as I say, have become a yo-yo club basically. So we've just finished mid-table. I finished the season, Ryan, you'll be proud of me here. I finished the season with a 15-year-old as my striker. He played the last 7 games of the season, scoring 2. A 15-year-old as my left winger. And 5 more teenagers in the squad. We'd missed out on Europe. So we were guaranteed just battling
the under-18s.
Well, we missed out on Europe. We were basically battling for mid-table. But we were never going to go down. We were expected mid-table. So my strikers haven't been scoring all season, to be honest. That's one of the biggest reasons we didn't secure that final European spot. So when my intake came through and we got two 15-year-old strikers who both could go straight into the first team, I thought, you know what? I'm putting one of them into the first team and one of them can play the rest of the season in the youth team. And he did well. 2 goals. Set up a couple as well. So I'm fairly pleased with that. But yeah, mid-table season one. Got a very young squad. Very young squad. And yeah, there's a lot of potential going in season 2, but I'm probably going to spend a good few days in real life going through the this summer window between the first and second season, because I've got a lot of people to go through who my scouts have been picking up around all the nations. I've loaded pretty much every league in Europe. So before the leagues tick over, I want to go through all the stats from all the other leagues and see which players have performed well, and see who I can pick up. But yeah, how's your save been going, Ryan? Or saves?
Well, I've had 2, but I've carried on my Man United save just because the Coventry Copswood save got a little bit... I think there was something that was put out on Twitter by editor saying they needed to fix something on the database that caused problems with teams later on.
Oh God!
So I put that save to the side, and then he said he was going to start looking at England level 12. So I'm currently waiting on that database, and I'm potentially looking at doing a save with a team called Coventry Elvis, which literally play down the road from where I the school that I work in.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for that to come out, and then I'll see how far I can get with a level 12 team. So I don't think I've ever managed that far down on FM. So it'll be interesting. But I've just carried on my Man United save, and yeah, it's a bit dull and boring. I'm winning everything, but it's the save that I've been using, which you've probably seen on Twitter, where I start posting about the asymmetrical formations that I put out, and I made the stupid idea of putting them on Facebook, and then you just get abused by everybody.
Yeah, you upset people.
Then after that, I mean, I upset a lot of people just because I've got fantastic players in my team, and well, that's just automatically cheating for some. But granted, it wasn't all. Some people did defend it and say that certain players, they do become available on a free. Because I had Ronaldo, who was at the time 37. He'd left Juventus on a free. I had Neymar. He left PSG on a free. I had Donnarumma. He left Milan on a free. And well, they're just players you're going to pick up. And I could quite easily show that I haven't cheated because I don't have the editor. So, and I don't see the point. I wouldn't post anything. Not a tactic anyway. Sure, this is the tactic that I'm using. But hey. But even after that, I've thought about it for a while, and I've wanted to do a post about asymmetrical formations, but not an article like about why you should use asymmetrical formations. It's more breaking it down on how I do it on FM, not how it's done, because other people do it, but they may do it in a different way to me. And then trying to link it into kind of real life, because there were managers when I started reading like biographies in the past, and then I started doing a little bit of research around asymmetrical formations, and a lot of managers that were popping up, like Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Fabio Capello was in there, which I thought was a strange one. But then it took it back to when he was in charge of England, and you had the likes of like Gerrard that was just like lumbered out on the left wing because he had to have Lampard and Gerrard in that same midfield, and Barry. And it was like a discombobulated midfield that everybody used to complain about. But then there was a very interesting article about how Gerrard was lumbered out on the left, but he was more like a wide midfielder that drift in and allow Rooney to drift that wide, which is what he did when he was a lot younger. Obviously, Rooney now plays as a bit more of attacking midfielder, and then if he gets bored and really wants the ball, he ends up becoming a defensive midfielder that just roams around wherever he wishes. But there's a lot, there was a lot of it around like how tactics are seen for more for visual views, to say that you have like a 4-2-3-1. That's just to say we're going to have four defenders, we're going to have two normal midfielders, and then three above them, and then one attacker. But then there was a lot of interesting stuff about how tactic can be like this fluid sort of just interchanging systems. Like, I mean, I look at it like how Man United are currently playing when they have like Matic on the pitch. They've got the two wing backs that bomb forward, Matic drops in, and then they play a back three, and then the wingers are bombing on forward, and then the two probably inverted wingers is probably what you'd call them from a football manager perspective, forming from midfield positions going forward to form a front three, which, well, the front three of Man United can be quite scary once they get going, and they've got Bruno Fernandes feeding them, which I think they're all loving that at the moment. But on FM, I think I speak about it in terms of you can't just, I'm going to go and use this formation and it will work. And I tried a lot of the formations that I've created on this FM in a draft I did yesterday. I know I said I wasn't going to speak about it much. And I just plonked them in with players that I'd drafted in, because we did an under-21 draft because it was 2021. So all players had to be under the age of 21. And well, it just didn't work because players weren't familiar with the tactic. They hadn't been trained in the tactic. They hadn't done, well, what I classify as probably another topic that we can do is looking at pre-season on Football Manager, because I have my own like training schedules and everything that look at developing tactics, especially my crazy tactics that I use. It takes a lot of time and a lot of moving roles around, and learning how team instructions and player instructions and player roles all link into building a tactic, which it's not just for asymmetrical tactics. It will be the same for symmetrical tactics that I know you're using. I remember your five and five, which you did a fantastic article about when we were with FM Central, about
Did
how
indeed.
it's just it worked though, didn't it?
It did.
And it was something that you had to it took a while to build, but it took a lot of thought. And well, asymmetrical tactics take a lot of thought, but they also get a lot of opinions on them about how they would never work in real life. But
I think the problem is
if you
that, like you were
go
saying,
on.
a lot of people seem to think of a tactic as how people move around on the pitch and not just as a starting point.
Yeah, I mean that's how I've always said it to everybody that says, "Well, why are you doing this?" I go, "I look at the tactic screen as that is your base. You select as your team instructions, your player instructions, and then your player roles will determine how the tactic will play out." And then Football Manager started adding a little bit more in terms of the difference between defensive formation and attacking formation. I'd love to see them go into a little bit more detail, like in similar ways of, I mean, I don't like to mention FIFA because it's not a fantastic game, but you can start moving players around. You can have like a ultra defensive formation and your ultra attacking formation. I'd love to see how Football Manager could potentially go down that route. Like, this is the formation that I want if we're off the ball. I know we've got the out of possession instructions. I
Kick
would love
off.
like a tack. Yeah, I'd love like a tactic that you could just go, this is what we do when we're out of possession. We form into this formation, and then when we transition, we go into this formation. It might be where they're going, because they did mention that they haven't put certain things on the game this year due to the current pandemic. They put certain things on, but they couldn't put certain things on, which is obviously understandable.
I think definitely one of the things I think going forward will be right, when we defend in, we want it to be this. This is not just a base, this is the shape I want you to hold when you're defending. A kickoff formation. When you look at a lot of teams now, they'll say, right, when you kick off, I want like seven of my players attacking down the left, and we're gonna kick it up long, and you're gonna win the flick on and attack. Do you know what I mean? Like some sort of a setup, and little things like that are added in going forward. Without a shadow of a doubt. In terms of lower league databases, I decided Acid Fire released one, and I started to say with Shildon. And I did 5 seasons before I got sacked when I was mid table, when we were expected to avoid relegation. And all I realised playing that save was a lot of extended databases. If not all of them, just because the way Football Manager works, if you don't get up the leagues as quickly as possible to the standard playable leagues, it almost becomes just pointless because nobody will come to you or whatever. Or, like, if you try to play properly with, like, attribute masking off and, like, sorry, on, and you know what I mean? Like, trying to balance the books becomes next to impossible. Like, I literally had no spending and we were still shipping money. It almost becomes just a waste of time, and I think I'm not going to touch extended databases going forward. I think I'm just going to stick to the vanilla game, in terms of the database side of things. But moving on, Ryan, we're going to just pick out a few people and talk about in the podcast. Obviously, we don't want the podcast to be too long. We want people to enjoy them, so we'll move on. You've got a couple of people you want to talk about.
Yeah, so I'll give a shout out to it's Mr. Tom, who it is his birthday tomorrow. I've got no idea how old he is, but we'll say he's 20.
I like that you said tomorrow as
He's
if you expect this to be edited and live tonight. I mean, good effort on that idea, but.
we never know. We can try, but it's Mr. Tom Ox's birthday tomorrow, and that will be the third of January.
3rd of
So
January, so
if it's out after that, then
probably yesterday.
we'll probably say happy birthday, Tom, if this goes out after. If it goes out tonight, which we're thinking, then it's happy birthday for tomorrow.
It's really not going
Mr. Tom out. Is doing. Mr. Tom's doing a he's doing a Twitch stream of Football Manager, and then he'll be doing various other games. He's doing Euro Truck, me and you have played in the past, and then there's other games that he's playing. And I know he's finishing on GeoGuessr, which I've come to quite
like that game.
After watching a few
website, it's, whatever we want to call it.
Very geographical. Takes a lot of thinking, which I think. For current circumstances, I mean, I don't know what it's like in Norway at the moment for you, but in the UK, people can't really go anywhere. So a game like that seems to pass time quite quickly.
It's fairly fine here because, well, we listen. So makes it quite easy. You can go and play golf still. You can go and do most things. There are some restrictions, but as long as you listen, which obviously a lot of people struggle with in the UK, then you get to live life fairly normal, shall we say. Not 100%.
Yes. Do go follow Mr. Tom or pop into his stream tomorrow for his birthday and wish him a happy birthday.
Another person
who I'd like to shout out is Alice Plays. He has his own YouTube channel where he's doing a save with, I think it's Kaiserslautern, I think. And then he does quite a lot on Twitch. But he's just a lovely guy that needs some support just to come his way. I mean, you'll probably know I've done a little bit of streaming, but went away from it because teaching life takes over, and then sometimes you can't able to stream because you're driving 14,000 hours in the day all around Norway. It's not easy.
By the time I get home. I'm tired. I just want to relax on the sofa.
Exactly. But I mean, you'll know. Getting into Football Manager streaming, I mean, especially on Twitch, it's not easy because there are people that are quite well loved in the community, and rightly so. When there are certain people that Sports Interactive love and they promote, and they brought them into their office, and some people just seem to fall by the wayside. And I came across Alice Plays just literally searching on Twitch, and I think I've been watching him for about 3-4 months now, and lovely guys. So somebody who I definitely recommend to go and look out for.
I will make sure I go and check him out. Like you said, there's some absolute shit who seem to get a load of views, so I'll go and check him out and say exactly how good he is. Hopefully he's more entertaining than some out there. What are you laughing at?
No names.
Too nice for that. I've changed. Okay. I want to mess out Gamer James. I think his Twitter handle is Gamer James FM. I'm fairly sure his Twitter handle is. His YouTube is Gamer James FM.
He's the one that tweeted us, isn't he? Yes, he is.
He did tweet us. He's a really nice man. I've known him for a few years now. He's doing two saves on YouTube, and they're complete opposites as well, which is nice. He's doing a Kaiserslautern save, which I think Matthias would love. Try and take them from the third tier back up to the top of German football. But he's also gone to a part of the world where normally on YouTube it doesn't really get the attention volume, but there's been a few more people trying it recently. And that's North America, South America, all that area. He's calling it an Americas adventure. And I just think it's nice to see him trying something different. And he does that quite a lot. And I think that dents him in terms of views quite a lot of the time. But at the same time, he then gets a loyal following because of it. So the people who do watch his content come back, because he doesn't just do what I did, where it was the same Let's Play shit every year in the same nation. Then people went, well, I've just watched one of them. I'm not coming back to watch another 12 months of the same thing. So it's really cool that he's like going around doing different things, and I definitely think he's worth checking out. Ryan's nodding. He didn't speak. He just like nodded with agreement because you know.
We're not live
on an audio podcast. There's nothing like the reaction of just a nod. Just yeah, I agree with that.
I was checking him out on Twitter.
Oh, nosy.
As you were talking, I was checking.
Do we have anything else you want to ramble about, Ryan? Or are we done?
Yeah, I would say we're done. I think if anybody obviously has any topics they would like us to discuss, you can go and follow us on. I'm going to make sure that I get get it right on social media. So it's @virtual_inbox on Twitter, and if you just search the virtual inbox on Facebook, you'll also find us there. You've changed your Twitter, so I'm going to let you shout out your Twitter. I only noticed this quite recently. I noticed you had two different accounts.
It's all right. To be fair, Ryan, in your defence, you noticed on the same day I'd done it. So I'm going to say well done for that. Yeah, my new Twitter handle for Football Manager and game and, well, Football Manager stuff mainly, is @TheNorthmanHome, which is the exact same account for my YouTube channel, to be fair. The Northman Home, if you search on YouTube. And I am actually going to record a couple of videos about this MTK Budapest, Ryan. Mainly because I want some sort of I want to document it for myself. So I'm going to record a bit more like, this is what I've been doing and this is what's happening. These are the youth players who have come through. Because some of them youth players I think could bloody be amazing. But yeah, @TheNorthmanHome on Twitter if you want to follow my Football Manager stuff. And my personal one, it's not really anything to do with this podcast. So yeah. Get some people following that other account, eh? But no, that's a good plug.
Exactly.
What's yours again, Ryan? @FM_teacher.
Right, it's Ryan@_FM_teacher. You may not see a lot of content from me because I only tend to do writing and then I'm working on. I've done the asymmetrical article, which you could probably still find on my Twitter somewhere. You might have to do a little bit of scrolling. And then the other one has been written. I'm just waiting on somebody to make me a header image so I can actually put it out there.
Because it's my graphical creation. You write on a website, don't you, Ryan?
I do. FM base. I've been the head of written content for a while, but it's taken a while to get round to writing because they're working on a automated system for shortlists and various other things. It means I don't have to sit down writing lists and then looking at Genie Scout and all those other things where you can get shortlists from. I can just concentrate on a bit more in-depth articles like the asymmetrical article and the other follow-up article that's coming up. I'm going to start looking a little bit more around pre-season and actual content that is written. Probably going down the road of Passion for FM.
High quality website, by the way, Passion for FM. Great detail.
Yes, it's done a very good. It did a very good article on XG.
Yeah.
But it's a very real life content. I don't think FM have implemented it in a way.
I'll tell you, it does fantastic content when it comes to like XG and that kind of stuff. FM Tahiti.
His work is insane. I remember that.
Writing on Dictate the Game. Fantastic work, honestly.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that's us pretty much done. So thank you people for watching, listening, whatever, I don't know. Much appreciated. We will get this out to you and hopefully we'll be back within a week or two. We're probably going to guarantee it every fortnight. And if we have a couple of quiet weeks of work, we might bring you a weekly. Also, if we have something to talk about, obviously. But going forward, I'm looking forward to diving deep into the Football Manager community and seeing what we can find. But yeah, thanks for watching, guys. Listening, keep saying watching. And we'll see you next time.